Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our last lesson, we were talking about ways that God has provided for us to remain faithful. Having once been saved from our past sins and born into the kingdom of God, we indeed are to be faithful as a Christian in our life. And we're talking about the ways that God has provided whereby we can be faithful. Because this doctrine of once saved, always saved, it's as false as a $3 bill. We can't believe that and expect to get to heaven. It is an overconfident statement of some people to think that once you're saved, there's no way for the devil to ever ensnare you, because we're warned that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, God offers to keep us faithful in a number of ways. One is, of course, by spiritual growth, by partaking of the Word of God. We remain faithful in faithful worship. We remain faithful when we strive to be as He would have us to develop the characteristics of a Christ-like character. And we pointed out how that we are saved by our hope, and when our hope becomes a reality, we will understand that better. But there are other ways also that help to keep us faithful. Do you realize that trials and persecutions and hardships, they're usually considered to be hindrances, and they're intended by the devil to be hindrances, but these can be stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks for us. We can use them for our benefit to help keep us saved. Now, how is that? Well, after all, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, "There is no temptation taken you, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, will provide a way for you to be able to endure or to bear it." Now, that simply means, and it's easy to say, and it's harder to live, but it's true, that there is nothing that shall happen this day that God and the Christian together cannot handle. You see, God is faithful. That means we can rely upon God under all conditions. God keeps His promises to His people, dear friend. And we can expect the world at times to be against us. We can expect hardships. We can expect trials and temptations. Jesus said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And He said through John, "Marvel not if the world hate you." Well, these tribulations can help us to grow as we either overcome them or we endure them. In the book of James, we're told to count it all joy to face such things. Why? Because such trial of faith works patience, that is, faithfulness, perseverance, James 1, 2 through 4. Christ said we are blessed when we suffer for righteousness' sake in the Sermon on the Mount. Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf." Now, Paul considered suffering differently than the way maybe most of us might consider it. He had this to say, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And oh, the many things of hardship that had befallen the Apostle Paul! But he was brave and courageous and steadfast in staying faithful to the Lord, and as a result he set an example for others to see and to follow." And he said, as a result, it furthers the gospel of Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 18, the Holy Spirit had him to write, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now, whether the trials that we face as a Christian will be opportunities or obstacles, it depends upon how we perceive them, it depends upon how we treat them, it depends upon how we react to them. But if we will do as Paul admonished in Romans 12, we will overcome. He said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yes, the trials that come because we are Christians can help us maintain faithfulness. And then in Romans 14 and 7, Paul said, and none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What's he teaching here? Why, this simply means that we all have influence to some degree, some more than others, of course. But influence flows both ways. We influence other people influence us. And because that's true, we need to be careful about the influence that we allow to be pressed upon us. We need to be very careful about making the proper choices of friends and associates. In the American Standard Version, we read in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good morals. You see, good people around us help us to be faithful and help us to keep ourselves saved. And this includes elders of the church. And they watch for our souls, Hebrews 13:17. Isn't it wonderful that God has provided for keeping us saved by the very government that he arranged for the church? Elders of the church watching on our behalf to help keep us faithful. And when brethren fulfill their duty one to another, they're not going to allow anybody to fall through the cracks, as we sometimes speak of it. They're not going to allow anybody to be lost without making that strenuous effort to recover the fallen. Indeed, if one is overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, you seek to restore such a one. You know, when we're in the company of evildoers, we are taught to come out from among them, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 17. Do you not recall when the Apostle Peter was so strong and determined that he would not forsake the Lord? He would die before he would deny the Lord. And that was when he was in the company of his fellow apostles. But when he was warning himself by the fire of the enemy, oh, he might have gotten warm all right, but he weakened and he denied the Lord. When he was threatened, he denied that he ever knew him. One decision many make regarding their associates that proves deadly is when they marry. They choose someone who does not share with them their loyal faith in Christ. Friend, my admonition is to those who are not married and who are Christians. Marry a Christian. Marry one who will help you get to heaven, not the other way around. There have been many who have been pulled away from the cause of Christ because they have followed their mate into worldliness, maybe into denominationalism and other things that the Bible does not teach one to follow, and they lose their faith in such things. And also, we are to maintain our faithfulness by not loving the evil things of this world. In 1 John 2 and 15, we're taught to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Dear friend, the sinful things of the world are not to be partaken of by the Christian. Now, I know the word world is used in different senses. We read how that God so loved the world. But when John told us to love not the world, he's talking about the things that are sinful. And there's much in this world that is attractive, but it's sinful. It's contrary to the will of God. We're not to set our affections on those kind of things. And if we're not alert, we can be drawn away from the love of God by the love of the evil things of the world. And we can even be drawn away by things that are not evil in and of themselves when we allow those things to take first place in our life. You see, we're taught in James 4 and verse 7, Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That means you oppose the devil and his ways. Does it seem that some almost flirt with sin and dare the devil to defeat them? They seem to see how far they can go before they think they commit what they ought not do. Dear friend, we're to resist the devil. He will flee from us. And there comes a time when we are to run from temptation. Paul taught to flee idolatry. He taught to flee fornication. He taught to flee youthful lust. And after listing a number of dangers, he said, flee these things. Do you not recall the way that Joseph dealt with temptation from Potiphar's wife? He put distance between himself and temptation. The Lord said we are to pray to lead us not into temptation. And as Christians, we simply cannot live a life in sin, Romans 6. We are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, James 1 and verse 27. We need to learn from Daniel how he made up his mind he would not defile himself. When pressed and pushed, we can rely on our determination not to do evil if we will only make that determination. And we can be faithful if, rather than doing evil, we'll fill our lives with doing that which is good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We'll be faithful if we'll not grow weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not, Galatians 6 and verse 9. And Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as ye know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. These simply teaching us to keep on keeping on. We won't have time to do that which is evil if we'll spend our time seeking to do that which is good. And we can be sure of success if we remain faithful. God wants us to be saved. He has saved us when we obey the gospel. He wants us to remain saved. And we may not accomplish all that we want, all that we wish, all that we would like to do, but even the constant effort to remain faithful is a measure of eternal success, and we will never fail if we just keep trying. Now, it should be evident that the knowledge of the Word of God is absolutely essential in keeping saved. We must partake of the will of the Lord. This knowledge requires study from us, effort, patience, endurance, and it's a daily activity that we dare not dismiss. Like Jesus when he was 12, we must be about the Father's business. And if we as Christians are about the Father's business, we will walk in the footsteps of Christ, and those footsteps will lead us into the eternal glory of God. In a very positive way, these are ways that God keeps us faithful. And now we know how to be saved. Hear the Word, believe the Word, obey the Word in repentance, confession of our faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ, and then to utilize these provisions that God has made. We've tried to outline a few of them in the last couple of lessons, and that will keep us saved. The main thing is that we have to decide, will we do what God wants us to do? If we will, we shall be in heaven. This is a burning fire. Until next time.